4, United States v. Schmidt. Hi, Mr. Gross.
Good morning, Your Honor. Your Honors. I'm here today on behalf of Mr. Kenneth Schmidt. He was convicted in the lower court, sentenced to 110 months, and I provide for your consideration today 4 issues. I'll start with them as they appear in my brief. The first two issues, well, at least the first issue, is an extremely fact-sensitive issue. So I apologize for the length of my separate appendices, but I thought it was important to get before Your Honors the specific facts and circumstances that were adduced at trial that should lead, and I'm asking for you to determine that the district court erred in denying my motion to suppress with regard to the search of the residence at Maryland Street in Evansville, Indiana. The search of the residence at Maryland Street was defended as being one of a protective sweep. As I stated earlier, Your Honors, in the United States Supreme Court case of Maryland v. Bowie, the United States Supreme Court indicated that such a review and such a protective sweep is limited to a fact-sensitive review. In this case, the police officers involved came to the conclusion or had an informant or someone advised that Mr. Schmidt was in possession of a firearm. On further investigation, the officers determined that Mr. Schmidt had an outstanding warrant for a felony arrest. Rather than utilizing the information contained by the confidential informant, obtaining a search warrant for the residence itself, the officers obtained an arrest warrant for Kenneth Schmidt and a search warrant for the residence specifically limited for the person and body of Kenneth Schmidt.
Yeah, but he doesn't dispute that there were drugs in plain view on the first floor of the house. So once the officers obtained the warrant based on the plain view drugs, they would have inevitably discovered the gun in the basement, wouldn't they have?
I think the timing of the obtaining of the search warrants is important because the gun in the basement was discovered prior to the obtaining of the search warrant and perhaps prior to the viewing of the drugs on the table in the living room, Your Honor. To utilize the doctrine of inevitable discovery, I think is damaging to the Fourth Amendment in itself, and it requires some assumptions that aren't necessarily in the case, meaning but for the discovery of the gun in the locked basement, would the officers have obtained a search warrant for the home for something other than Kenneth Schmidt? My answer would be, I don't know. But ultimately, they did obtain a search warrant, but I think that search warrant was based on impermissible circumstances or factors.
We have a quick sweep in a situation that involved an unknown number of persons, a possible assault rifle, and an individual with a violent criminal history. So,
well, Your Honor, the circumstances surrounding the police officer's ability to enter into 26 Maryland Street in Evansville the officers didn't just bust into the house. They took their time. They had a surveillance team set up for a number of hours. They observed people leave the residence. They observed Mr. Schmidt outside of the residence. I would oppose to you, Your Honor, that they could have, should have, perhaps could have arrested Mr. Schmidt outside the residence. The fact that they went into the residence is for reasons other than simply to arrest Mr. Schmidt. The location of the gun is important. The location of the gun is undisputed. There's no evidence other than the testimony that the gun was inside a locked basement away from Mr. Schmidt, who surrendered immediately upon the SWAT team making entry into the residence. The door was locked from the outside, which is important because a reasonable officer could not believe that someone could hide in the basement and therefore lock the door behind him or herself from the outside.
No, but a person could be locked in there.
Sure.
Someone could be hiding down there and the people upstairs throw the switch over.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
You say Schmidt immediately surrendered. It's not clear to me from reading this record whether Schmidt was identified prior to the search of the basement. In other words, there were two guys in the house. Flashbangs had gone off. I assume there's some smoke and so forth.
Yes, Your Honor.
The two individuals surrender, but did the police know that that was in fact Schmidt before they went into the basement? Is there a finding on that?
I think if the officers were questioned, I think they would say no. I believe they would say we were taking into custody any and all.
Two guys, they weren't sure they had Schmidt yet, right?
I agree with that assessment, Your Honor.
Finish your statement. I want to move on to this.
If the person was indeed in the basement and locked in the basement, then I would present to you that the officers would be secure if someone were secured or locked inside
a basement. I wouldn't want to face somebody with an AR-15 and just a little latch on the door. It's not like a padlock.
No, it was a key in the...
That's still a pretty dangerous situation.
Yes, ma'am.
It's a hook and...
It is.
Yeah.
So on this Wyatt, who's on the stand and claims that the drugs are his drugs, and then he's cross-examined more about that, and the government then uses Schmidt's conviction to, I guess, attack Wyatt's credibility, and that gets admitted. What else could the government have done to correct the admission of Wyatt that the drugs were his?
Well, I think if we start from the beginning, I don't necessarily think the government perhaps needed to call Wyatt in the first place.
I want to clarify, too, that Wyatt's admission, contention that the drugs were his, was not elicited on direct exam, was it? Didn't that come out on cross-examination by Schmidt's counsel?
Myself, yes.
By you?
Yes, Your Honor.
So the government did not introduce that fact. You did during cross-examination that Wyatt claimed the drugs were his.
That's correct, sir.
And would that not open the door to the government to put the state court conviction into evidence?
Well, the government had originally introduced evidence of the drugs found at the house over my motion in limine and my objection. The drugs had come into evidence. They were in evidence prior to Wyatt's testimony. And I think they were erroneously admitted into evidence because it would lead a reasonable jury, Your Honor, to think that Mr. Schmidt, this was a constructive possession case, that Mr. Schmidt would be more likely to possess that firearm if he were a drug dealer as a, quote, and this is a government witness's testimony, tools of the trade. They like to say, you know, firearms are tools of the trade or drug dealers. So if Mr. Schmidt is painted as a drug dealer, which he was prior to Wyatt's testimony, then it more than likely would lead the jury to believe that he did in fact possess the firearm. So I did ask the question of Wyatt as impeachment testimony perhaps, or to try to remedy the improper admissibility or admitting of the drug evidence to begin with.
Well, the government asked on direct exam, why would you go over Schmidt's house? Answer, usually to get him high. Okay, question, do you recall what you and Schmidt were doing just prior to the police coming in? He responds, yeah, I just got there, you know, just got there, had some meth, so I broke it out. Was getting him high. Was meth the only drug found there?
No, actually, on...
There were other drugs, right?
On Mr. Schmidt's person.
On Mr. Schmidt's
there,
person.
There were various pills found. I believe they
but
were...
Was meth is the implication was that why it brought the meth there. And then you jumped on it in cross-examination, and he said they were his drugs. Was there any other suggestion given to the court as to how to deal with that inconsistency of Wyatt?
No, in fact, I think His Honor Judge Young had asked me if I was going to discuss that inconsistency or that admission by Wyatt at closing or further, and I stated I was, honestly. So I felt I was somewhat in a box by the court's ruling and was without remedy other than the questions I asked. Now, the last two issues, Your Honor, I raise are related to sentencing of Mr. Schmidt, and the third issue is the most important, I believe. It's regard to the four-level sentencing enhancement with regard to the gun. I think it's important to look at the facts, the uncontroverted facts that the gun was present in the house less than 24 hours. The gun was in a locked basement. It was not easily accessible to Mr. Schmidt. There's no evidence that Mr. Schmidt brandished it or that it was in any close proximity to any drugs found in the house. I think the assessment of 4 points for the proximity or for the use of the firearm in connection with another felony offense is misplaced and erroneous. The last issue. Yes, ma'am.
No, I just want you to be sure to...
I understand. But the last issue would be that Mr. Schmidt attempted to accept responsibility at sentencing and was not allowed to do that.
Too late. Too late.
I would like to...
Too late.
I understand that. That's why I agree that the third issue is substantially more important with regard to the fourth point. Now, see, I'm into my rebuttal time.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Burkett.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Levi Burkett. I'm a Special Assistant United States Attorney, and I represent the government in this case. And I'm asking Your Honors to affirm all of the rulings of the District Court. As my brother at the bar, Mr. Groves, pointed out, there are four issues here. I believe that the first two, as laid out in our briefs, truly are fact-specific analyses. First, Your Honors, if I may, as to the issue of the protective sweep.
Excuse me for one moment. We still have the white light on. Okay.
Thank you. I was wondering about that.
Yeah, you're only getting 3 minutes.
Fair enough. I'll speak quickly. As to the protective sweeps, Your Honors, both the appellant and the appellee point to the same case, the Bowie case, which was cited at length in my brief. It is important to note that there were several officers who entered into the house at the same time who may not have been aware of the minute-by-minute activity of each one. In the protective sweep, the real focus of the analysis is not on whether or not a door was locked, closed, or whether it was a hook and eye latch or a padlock, but really on officer safety and whether the officers were reasonable in their sweep of the immediate area to protect themselves.
Does the record show whether Schmidt had been identified by the officers who came into the house before the guy went down in the basement and found the gun?
No, Your Honor. The record does not show that. And I agree with Mr. Groves that the officers are asked about it. They would say that he had not been. I believe the record supports that there were between 8 and 15 officers who entered virtually simultaneously during this search. the execution of the search warrant for the person of Mr. Schmidt, and that whether the firearm was noticed and located in the basement prior to Mr. Schmidt's apprehension or after it is, I believe, ambiguous, but certainly it's ambiguous whether or not Mr. Schmidt was identified prior to or after the discovery of that firearm. And the district court noted in its ruling on defense motion to suppress several factors which point to the officer safety issues in this analysis, noted that there was evidence, or at least an allegation, that there was a assault rifle in the house, noted the defendant, Mr. Schmidt's criminal record, which included violence, noted that there were several people who were identified coming in and out in the hours just prior to entry into the house for the search, and relied upon those in finding the reasonableness of the officer's actions in doing a protective sweep that included this basement.
You know, there was an issue that I'm kind of interested in that wasn't discussed, but I'm going to take you there.
Fair enough.
And that is this. I can certainly understand why the court allowed evidence that Schmidt purchased the gun at issue, but why was the method of payment relevant? In other words, what gap did that fill in the story to say that he paid for it with drugs? Was the amount paid in dispute? What was that about? That was very harmful.
The government relied upon the testimony of a confidential informant, Mr. Hutchinson, at trial. And his testimony, as Your Honor pointed out, was that this gun was purchased for an amount of cash as well as an amount of narcotics, methamphetamine. Now, given his status as a confidential informant, and just as a witness for the government in general, his credibility is extremely at issue. So, again, this is a fact-sensitive analysis, but all of the details of that sale, up to and including the methamphetamine, any of those details that are corroborated by other facts in that house go to his credibility. And that's part of the reason why the details of the sale, not just the fact that the sale happened, were essential to the government's case.
But in your brief, you argued without the evidence that Schmidt paid for the gun with drugs, there would be a false inference, in the minds of the jurors. So what would that false inference be?
Well, with respect, Your Honor, the false inference argument in my brief, I believe, was with respect to the testimony of Mr. Wyatt, which was elicited on cross-examination by the defense, and that to leave the jury with the inference that these drugs were Mr. Wyatt's and not Mr. Schmidt's, which he had already pled guilty in state court, would ultimately to create a false inference in the mind of the jury.
And that's what troubles me, the fact that to impeach the government's witness, the government called Wyatt. Wyatt talks about bringing the meth over to the house so they could get high. And then when Wyatt, on cross-examination, says the drugs are his, you prove it up by bringing in the conviction of Mr. Schmidt. And Mr. Schmidt's, of course, the defendant that's on trial. That's very unusual.
Your Honor, I can see that it is.
To impeach your own witness that you call with a conviction when the defendant doesn't take the stand. So you're using that to prove up. That troubles me.
Well, Your Honor, frankly, at trial it troubled me too.
I mean, the court had some alternatives. I mean, the court could have said to the jury that at an earlier time, Mr. Wyatt said the drugs belonged to someone else, and not say it was the defendant. He would have still been impeached. I mean, his credibility, because the jury would have gotten that instruction from the court. But to not only bring in the conviction and then bring in the actual, I mean, to have the, I think it was an agent or an officer or somebody that testified about the conviction, and then the conviction of record was actually introduced, correct?
That is correct.
And there was some discussion about that conviction. Because it was some confusion about the class of the felony, correct?
That's correct.
All before the jury in the criminal case for Schmidt. I've never seen that. Not that I haven't seen everything, but I mean that to me is very unusual and prejudicial.
Close to it.
Yeah, and to me very prejudicial.
The fact of these drugs, it didn't just pop up in Mr. Wyatt's testimony. It was elicited during cross-examination.
Well, no, Wyatt said, on direct, the government says, why would you go over to Schmidt's house, answer usually to get him high, question, do you recall that what you and Schmidt were doing just prior to the police coming in? Answer, yes, I got there. You know, I just got there, had some meth, so I broke it out. So, I mean, I think the defense was entitled to cross-examine on that. You know, you had some meth, those drugs were yours. Then you're impeaching Wyatt with the conviction of Schmidt, and Schmidt's the one on trial.
Yes, Your Honor, and what I was referring to was the fact that on cross-examination, Mr. Wyatt essentially took responsibility for all the drugs in the house. And given the nature of this sale, the drugs in those house, in that house, that the fact of them and the fact of this conviction is probative of the possession of the firearm.
Now, and of course, Wyatt wasn't put in the grand jury where he could have been nailed down. Wyatt was somebody who had issues. You would agree with that, credibility issues. Wyatt.
Yes, Your Honor.
And so there was no, like, 302, no interview by an agent of Wyatt where Wyatt would have said those drugs belong to Schmidt. He was not in the grand jury, so you could nail him down if he had been in the grand jury, of course. Then he flips on you. You can use the grand jury testimony to impeach him. You could use his prior statement to impeach him, but that wasn't the situation.
I can see the government did have that option, Your Honor, yes.
Yeah, and the court could have instructed the jury that Wyatt had said something at another time. Wyatt had said that, or could have said well, of course, it wasn't true. I guess at some point, though, Wyatt had told you the drugs belonged to Schmidt, right? Had told the government in pretrial.
Yes, that's not reflected in the record, but that is true.
Right. So then you could have asked the court to instruct the jury that Wyatt at other points had said the drugs belonged to someone other than himself, and it wouldn't have then implicated the defendant.
Well, you all must have been stunned at this point, but here's what I'm wondering. What was the limiting instruction that the court gave on the use of the drug evidence? Was it a pattern instruction?
Honor,
where in the record are we going to find that?
Pardon me, I didn't mean to.
No, not at all.
I believe it's instruction number 20, and that is a pattern instruction. The district court
which says, number 20, remind us of what it
the
says.
404B instruction.
Just
yes,
general,
that's right.
Yeah, see, it's that general 404B.
Yes, the one that begins, you've heard evidence during this trial about drugs which are not the subject of the charge of the indictment. Yes, Your Honor.
Right. Yeah, and the drugs that are not the subject of the indictment, but introducing the conviction. I mean, not only heard about it, but they've actually seen the conviction for it. So it didn't even say that was introduced for purposes of the impeachment of Wyatt and not to be used for any other purpose.
I think he noted the inextricably intertwined doctrine.
Your Honor, the district judge did use that language in his ruling. I would point to, as I did in my brief, I believe, the Gorman case, wherein this court abandoned the inextricably intertwined doctrine. But also in that Gorman case, Your Honor, the court has found that just because the language of the district court may be the wrong language used or the analysis could have been clearer, if the result is right, it ultimately does not defeat the district court's ruling.
Yeah, but we've really pretty much fully discredited inextricably intertwined.
I understand that, Your Honor, and I would point to when one looks at the facts of this case, given the opening of the door, given the posture of the facts that they came out at trial, the government's contention is that the possession of this firearm and the evidence of these drug convictions and of the drugs, that the evidence of the drugs and the convictions is probative, more probative than prejudicial, to the possession of this firearm, given Mr. White's testimony listed on cross-examination, given how it was sold.
These were Schmidt's convictions, and Schmidt never hit the stand, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
In this case. And so without the testimony regarding Schmidt's conviction and admitting the conviction, the record, the government would have had a much more difficult time tying Schmidt to the drugs on the scene. You would have had evidence that Schmidt used the drugs to purchase the gun and the officer's testimony that the drugs were found at his house, but would not have had any concrete evidence connecting him to the drugs at his house. Certainly the inference was there that these were his drugs, but your case would have certainly been weaker without the conviction.
And, Your Honor, to that I'd respond that just as the defense said, in the record concerning this issue, the defense would not then have been able to argue that these were Wyatt's drugs and therefore create the inference that it was Wyatt who possessed this firearm because the firearm was traded for both drugs and money. And that's the connective tissue here that the government relies on in showing that this is more probative than prejudicial. I see that the yellow light is on, Your Honors. I thank you for your time.
Well, we thank you for yours. Mr. Gross?
Yes, Your Honor.
You have some time.
I have a little bit of time left, and unless Your Honors have any further questions, I'll make one blanket statement. I wrote down what Mr. Burkett said, that the drugs in the house were probative of the possession of the firearm. I disagree with that immediately. The drugs in the house were unfairly prejudicial to Mr. Schmidt. He was charged with possessing of a firearm, not possession of drugs. But for the drugs, I don't know what the jury would have done, and that's unfortunate. And I think the only remedy is to remand with instruction that Mr. Schmidt deserves a new trial without this unfairly prejudicial evidence. Alternatively, if Mr. Schmidt, in your learned opinion, does not deserve a new trial, he at least deserves a new sentencing with the 4 points subtracted from the offense computation.
Now, I do have a question, and it is this. What is a shotgun-style house?
Well, I'm from Kentucky, Your Honor. So the shotgun-style house would be a house if you stood in the front of the house and you fired a shotgun at the front of the house. It's so narrow and long that the bullets would go all the way through the house and come out the back door.
All the way, running all the way down the the house from front to
so
back.
So you can see the front door through the back door.
And all the rooms are off that hallway.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And also, thank you for taking on this appeal. Thank you for allowing the court to appoint you. And thank you for doing such a nice job for your client.
Thank you
for doing such a nice job for the government. And the case will be taken under advisement.